This is retired Fire Chief Tom DeSourcy, and you're listening to Firefighting in Canada, the podcast, brought to you by VFIS of Canada, a division of CVIS Incorporated, Canada's largest insurer of firefighters since 1991. When you hear the word retirement, one thinks about financial planning and travel advertising. But for many of us, one of the biggest challenges when it comes to a fire career is seeing it come to an end. Be it career or volunteer, many struggle with the idea and reality of retirement. At bcfirstrespondersmentalhealth.com, you'll find a guide for retirees. And one of the big contributors in this topic is our guest today. Captain Steve Farina has over 30 years' experience in the fire service and is considered a leader in first responder mental health. He joins us today. Steve, it's a pleasure. Welcome to the podcast.
Pleasure is all mine, Tom.
Are you past advocate status?
I think I'll always be an advocate. It's weird to even you say that. Like, it's just something, being a good human, right? Just
absolutely
taking care of each other, so.
You've been doing this fire thing since 92, and that doesn't seem like so long ago. I mean, I started in the 80s, and you're 92. Tell me about your journey through the fire service and where it all began to where it is today.
Yeah, so it began as a paid on-call firefighter in Langley Township, and so I did that for 5 years, pretty much out of high school, 19 years old. I was working at the Otter Co-op, a grocery store right around the corner from the fire hall. So that was my first introduction to the fire service. And I wanted to go career. So eventually in 1997, I got a job with Coquitlam Fire and started that career and, you know, did all the things, was obviously a probationer firefighter, dispatcher in the training division, engine operator, and all the way up to tech rope rescue. And now I'm a captain on engine one. So it's been quite a journey. And then I've had a foray into the union world where I've been, you know, part of our union executive for 18 years, and now I'm part of the provincial association. So that's been an interesting part of my career as well.
You've traveled the country, and one of the things you've done, or do, I should say, is training healthcare professionals, ensuring that they have an understanding of the fire service culture. That's important.
Oh, absolutely. My friend Matt Johnston and I have gone literally coast to coast now. We just in New Brunswick last November, training clinicians and healthcare professionals and HR workers' comp folks to understand our world and how to navigate, you know, that those systems, you know, that culture, understanding our language, and really, you know, training mental health Sherpas right across Canada, I like to call them, to support our folks through from recruitment to retirement. And that's why we need to have a tribe of people that understand us and care for us.
In 1992, in that era, when you first stepped onto the floor, so to speak, was mental health a thing then?
You know, Langley Township, I'll have to say, we had Dave and Terry in our training division that were school teachers by their main occupation. And they brought in CISM back in the day, you know, the Mitchell model. And I was I wasn't surprised because I wasn't expecting that. But even back then, we were doing it not super well because there was a massive stigma still around. I mean, to this day, there's still stigma around mental health. But I was very surprised at how progressive they were. And that carried on into my career in Coquitlam, where we had a rudimentary CISM team as well. And then my friend Scott Young, as you know, him and I kind of took that and built a bigger, better CISM team, changed the culture a little bit by introducing peer support, which you're part of as well. And we figure that's the next transition, is that peer support model. So it's been an interesting trajectory through my career to see how it's ebbed and flowed, but it's like a snowflake right across the industry. As you know, there's all different versions of mental health support in the fire service and first responder world.
Peer support, when the stuff that I've learned, to me, my first realization is that it's been a long time coming and I think somewhat overdue. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that is the cornerstone of support in our world. You know, we are a tribe, we are a firefighter family, and to have that, you know, group of formal caring individuals that are trained and resourced. But, you know, everybody is a peer, right? I think everybody should have that role. I just think identifying and training and resourcing a specific group of people is just one of the pillars to support your folks. And I think it's great that the Chiefs Association also has that as well now.
To retirement and the mental health, connection, That's overdue, I would think. I mean, I'm in that world. I'm living that world now, so to speak, where I'm thinking it's quite a drastic separation, if you will. When you leave the career of fire, you leave the family, so to speak, and all of a sudden it's over. Is that the biggest complaint, or where does it go from there?
Yeah, interesting enough, I've had lunches recently with two retired members, and I'm coming up on retirement 4 months away. So I've been really reflecting on this a lot. And as you said, there's a disconnect when you retire. And, you know, this fire service family, if you don't have a strong connection with an alumni association, or you've got friends in the fire service that you remain connected with, it is a major unplugging. And so this loss of identity and loss of resources and loss of that kitchen table, to be honest, where you feel like you're part of something. And so there's so many things that play here, this loss of meaning and purpose. And, you know, if your identity has been a firefighter through your entire life, like us, I mean, since the 80s and 90s, here we are, you know, 30, 40 years later, and this has been our life. And so to really walk away from that, and what I've been hearing from a lot of the retirees is they feel lost and they feel just completely disconnected. And it's heartbreaking, really, because there's some legacy information loss, and we owe it to them for providing those foundations that we've built our careers on and the service that they gave. So we need to do a better job, I think.
I think when I stepped away, that it was purposeful in terms of, you know, moving at the age, you know, that you're allowed to, and taking advantage of that, if you will. But the little things that I guess the general public doesn't understand, like a simple act of not sleeping with a pager and being on 24-hour call, you know, having no clothes to wear, really. Essentially, I've been in a uniform for 23 years. And right. So, I mean, it's nothing else. Like, what else do I do? Would you consider it separation anxiety? Is that a good term?
Yeah. So I think that's what holds people back from really stepping out the door. And they hold on maybe a little too long. And it is a very personal decision, but I think there's a lot of barriers to retiring healthy and thriving. And I think, you know, that separation anxiety you describe, or that, you know, potential loss of identity, is like, I identify as a firefighter. And I've heard this from my old captains. It's like, I'm no longer a firefighter. I'm no longer the fire captain. I'm just civilian Joe. And so that was a really hard thing, but I'm like, it's kind of like a coach. And I look at this and I liken this to yourself in the community, as you were the first paid fire chief in Hope. And, you know, I look at my daughter's coaches and they've always been coach for the rest of their life. They'll be known as coach. And I think that's where I've been telling my captains, at least that have retired, I'm like, you'll always be my captain, my fire captain. That's never going to go away. So whether you're retired or not, you're still going to be in the community. People are still going to look to you for advice around that. And they're going to count on you. So it doesn't go away.
Some of the things that can be the downfalls of the mental health effects of retirement, or they getting to you. I mean, we're talking about what? Stress, anxiety, what other things?
Yeah, big time. I think it's really unresolved trauma. And when people step away from the fire service, it's much like, you know, some people rush to go get their knees done, or, you know, they put off that shoulder surgery. And they want to retire. You want to retire healthy and thriving. And so to take care of some of those demons or those rocks in your backpack that have collected over the years, because they do accumulate. This is heavy work. And as you know, it takes a toll. So that preparation piece is critical. And what I find people in retirement is that now they've come off of 100 kilometers an hour. And I'll use my friend Gore Ditchburn. He was the president of the association in BC here, captain in Vancouver Fire. And now he's literally, you know, he's been revving at a high RPM for so many years. And now he's just like, now what? And so that lack of preparation, perhaps, is what are you going to do with that idle time? And then so what we're finding with the retirees is now they're ruminating. And now they're like, oh, wow, like they're starting to pull rocks out of their backpack and really looking at this stuff. And it's like, wow, I should have dealt with this at the beginning of my career and throughout my career. And now I've got this big ball of twine that I have to unwind. So that is what I'm finding in retirement. And so, and then it leads to maladaptive coping and, you know, substance misuse and other things. But yes, depression, anxiety, all those things are, I hate to label it, just they're not feeling optimal as a human being.
I alluded to the BC First Responders mental health website here in British Columbia, and it's the first time I've seen in writing the phases of retirement. And I've always thought there are different phases of retirement. Explain those three phases that you wrote about.
I mean, there is that pre-retirement phase, in which I'm sort of in, is that preparation piece. So, you know, preparing my mind, making sure that I have hobbies, you know, making sure I have meaning and purpose as I move out of this transition. And it's not an end. And I think so many people look at that as an end of, it is an end of a career, but it's not the end. You know, I'm in my early 50s and I have a whole lot of life and love to give still to this industry and the world. So that would be that first transition piece, is that pre-retirement readiness. And then that early retirement, where it's this not a honeymoon phase. You're kind of floating perhaps a little bit. And then, and, you know, you're in this middle phase of transition where you're starting to find some maybe meaning, purpose, volunteerism and stuff like that. And then that post, like when you're really hitting your stride at the end, I think you've really realized that you've been putting into this pension for so long, or you've contributed for so long to society, that's now it's time for you to enjoy the fruits of your labor and really step back and look at it from a 30,000 foot level, is just having all this gratitude of that life of service, because it really is. It is about service. I'm not sure if I've captured all the phases properly, but that's kind of where in my mind it's going.
To specifically speak of, say, a chief officer, I would like to think, and I hope that I've done the right thing when I left, that there are steps you can take from an operational perspective to make things make you feel more comfortable, because I think that leaving is that sense of belonging, that sense of I just walked away, but setting it up for the next guy, so to speak, does that help your mental health when you've actually left the room?
Absolutely. Like, as a chief officer or a company officer, like in any role that you're in, mentoring someone and that creating that succession plan is going to give you meaning and purpose at the end of your career. And so really identifying people that are interested to take the baton and mentoring them in those roles, and, you know, passing on your knowledge, because there's this gap where we're seeing this institutional knowledge just going away. And you don't want to walk away with that in your back, like in your suitcase of things to pass on, right? And so I think there's such a missed opportunity where you can literally, you know, take someone under your wing or several people and really nurture them and guide them. And so that you can walk away. And I think, you know, for myself, I think back, I was one of our high angle instructors running our rope program, and I was holding on to it so tightly. And I realized that I had to walk away from this, and there was other people that I needed to mentor. And I said, I wanted to leave, even from my own union executive, I wanted to leave prior to my expiry date being way past. And my usefulness, I would say, and not to say you're never growing and learning, but I learned that I'm replaceable. So I might as well empower someone, take that role on, and they can do it better than I. And I really hope that chief officers hear that, is, you know, we've built this to where we've got it to. And I think, you know, passing it on so that they make it better, I think that's the way to go.
So what's the message to those firefighters, those chief officers that are nowhere near retirement or considering it, and looking out for those that have left and keeping in touch? Is there something they should be doing to help those folks?
Yeah, for personally, I think you need to prepare. And I think it's right when you get hired. We think about our pension, you think about savings, you think about the finances. And I think mentally you need to prepare. So it's making sure you've got a good mental health Sherpa throughout your whole career. You've built a good tribe around you of supportive people. And so really nurturing that through your 30 years or however long you're going to put in. So that's really, really critical. And taking care of things along the way so that they're not all built up by the end of your career. You know, making sure you have those really authentic connections and maintaining those. You know, it's relationships are like a garden, right? You've got to put the work in, you got to weed it, you got to water it. And so to isolate yourself, you're going to feel even lonelier in retirement. So make sure you have a good tribe around you and have those authentic conversations and connections. That's going to be really, really critical moving into retirement. And I hear that constantly, is, you know, in Australia and here in BC too, they have these men's sheds. So there are opportunities to reconnect. And I'd love for you to explore that maybe on another podcast, is this idea of community and giving people meaning and purpose and coming together. And they're building planter boxes and stuff for communities and or chairs or whatever it is that you can come together and do. Volunteer back with your charitable associations. I think there are things you can do. And like yourself, giving back to as a peer, as a mentor, those are things that we can definitely do in retirement.
They're reaching out, making the effort to don't forget. I mean, volunteer fire departments are good at that. You know, the paid on calls are good. Then members stay along for a long time. And I want to touch on that paid on call side of things. We are talking about retiring. When we hear the word retirement, we think of people that got paid and have a pension and move on from a career position. But in the retired paid on call, or sorry, the volunteer paid on call world, you don't necessarily retire. You know, you might be a chief officer and you've been the fire chief and such for so many years and you retire. But then again, you are probably not retired because you have another job in running your business or what have you. It's 85% of the fire service, the volunteers. But I don't think that retired, I don't think firefighters, retired firefighters make up 85%. Is it just a simple fact that the volunteer paid on calls don't consider themselves retired? And I argue that they still need the mental health support.
Yeah, everybody needs that mental health support, whether you're paid on call, career, volunteer, it doesn't matter. The job takes a toll on you. You know what I loved about the paid on call world is that there's this sense of community and family and yourself, you're still within that community. You're embedded in there as a community figure and you don't retire and you do have other jobs perhaps. And even if you are, there's these, they have strong alumni associations. And I think of my township of Langley days, they just had our Hall 6 alumni come together and they do it on an annual basis and they bring everybody. I've missed it every single time. I've just been out of province or out of town. And I just love that sense of community that they have. And so, yeah, there is some supports there. It's just connecting back into them. And if it's not established in your community as a paid on call volunteer, create them, create these alumni associations, create these connections. And because someone has to do the heavy lifting, they have to start somewhere. And that's, you know, it's sad to let that community go away. And I think in the career world, like in a Vancouver Fire Department, 900 members, you're a number, unfortunately. And so that's what you know, there's a small group of alumni that have kept connected and are trying to provide resources and retiree information. And I really commend them for that. I try to support them as much as I can, but you got to do it yourself. Really, you have to build that community of support.
Treating the retirees, especially in the volunteer paid on call halls, those retirees, so to speak, as resources. And I've actually written about that, where it's what I would call the depth in your organization. And I can only imagine a new recruit showing up in the fire service, coming into, hey, I'm, and seeing all kinds of faces, including, you know, veterans that have been there, that makes you maybe feel welcome to be part of this organization. I would think that you're welcome to stay on as long as you like.
Yeah, I love that. It does make sense. Because as I mentioned about that institutional knowledge, I remember coming into the fire service as a kid and I looked at all these gray haired old guys and there was so much to learn and they were willing to teach. And that was the really neat thing about that world, was that they wanted to impart their knowledge on and their experiences. And man, keep me safe. You know, I was a young buck. And so they were guiding me through those initial stages of my career. And that's where I see people in those senior roles really being good mentors and good role models. Like that is such a critical role throughout our whole careers that we need to do that.
I love what you've written and what I've said and used, but I think it's also, I worked in radio, so it was a country song at one point, but there is a reason the windshield is so much bigger than the rear view. Why?
Yeah. And I am very forward thinking. People say I'm an optimist. I'm trying to be more realistic, but the rear view is small. And I think, you know, as the light dims on my career in the fire service, at least, I'm looking right through that big windshield. And it is bigger for a reason, because what's in front of me, I'm excited about. My daughter's going off to college. You know, I'm going to be moving up to the Okanagan to take care of my parents. And I've got a new girl in my life that I'm looking forward to traveling with. And so there's so much in the front of me that I want to focus on. And if I look back, I mean, we've all had our stories. We all have a story. And it's been a real challenging last 5 years for me. And so, but that's in the rear view. And I'm not going to look back at that. I'm only going to look forward. And if you spend a ton of time looking in the rear view, you're going to run into a tree.
You have to have a peek once in a while to be safe.
Yes, for sure. It's important to see where you were so that when you look ahead, you know, like how far I've come truly. And I think that's that growth perspective is that, yeah, that all that hurt and pain and suffering in the rear view. I mean, but there's tons of great memories too. So when you reflect back, you do it in a way that, you know, I feel so much gratitude when I reflect back on our, on my career, and I'm sure you do as well. It's just like, I feel so privileged to have done what I've done and the people that I've connected with on along the way. It's just, yeah, it's been so rewarding.
I started my career in broadcasting, my working life in broadcasting many years ago. And you talk about being prepared for the workforce. When they hire you, they say you're hired to be fired. That was the 40 years ago. That was the uncertainty of the broadcast industry. So maybe that mentality has helped me. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes you resilient.
so a message before we go, a message to those, again, to that pre-group, that group that started thinking about it. And do I have to, do I really, before I uncoil the spring, so to speak, what can, I guess, words of advice can we, not to say encourage you to carry on, but here's what you need to be thinking of.
I think you start with a checkup from the neck up. And I really think you need to check under the hood and have a real good look at what's going on. You know, we do this physically lots, but I think mentally we really need to see, are we ready? What demons do we have to take care of? What rocks are in my backpack that I need to offload? Like, I want to leave so that I'm thriving and healthy in retirement, being the best dad, grandfather, mother, whatever it is, prepare mentally for that transition and make sure that you have some meaning and purpose moving into retirement, hobbies, another job, perhaps, you know, volunteer work, whatever it is that fills your cup up. I think, you know, prepare as you do financially, prepare, you know, kind of spiritually, if you will, but definitely mentally prepare for that transition because it is a big life transition for sure.
Appreciate your time today. Thanks for doing this, Steve.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, Tom.
This has been Firefighting in Canada, the podcast, brought to you by VFIS of Canada, a division of CVIS Incorporated, Canada's largest insurer of firefighters since 1991. Visit firefightinginCanada.com for more episodes.